Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We do have plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We would love for you to join us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a question about freedom of Christ, how to live the Christian life, we would love for you to chime in, ask your question. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Richard Piper is here. Andrew Farley is here. And we're just going to have a great time talking about the Lord Jesus. Guys, did you see yesterday that exchange, I guess, in Senate chambers between Senator Robert Menendez and Mike Pompeo? It was kind of interesting. They were questioning Mike Pompeo on the Trump-Putin conversation, that meeting, and they were really pressing hard. And you know how those exchanges get. They become heated, a little snarky, and certainly there was some snarkiness there. And Pompeo said something like, I know the game you're playing, Senator. And the senator jumped in and said, listen, we don't know what happened there. We don't know what the truth is. And that just stuck in my mind, and I thought, you know, that's exactly where the world is. They don't know the truth about God. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure it out in their own understanding, but they don't know the truth. That's why we see so much struggle, so much frustration, so much pain, so much strife. And even in the Christian world, we see a lot of people in bondage because they don't know the real truth about the God that they say they serve. And it's interesting, when Jesus was standing before Pilate, he said this, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." So Jesus came into this world to bear witness to the truth, to make the truth about the love of his Father for mankind known to all of us. That's what we were missing. That's why so many people are still living subpar Christian lives, because they're not walking in the truth about God that has been revealed to us very clearly, very precisely in the person of Jesus Christ. I thought that was an interesting comment that the senator made, and it just really speaks volumes about the condition of the world that we live in today.
Yeah, you know, the world seems to think that education is the answer. The world seems to think that better leaders is the answer, better politics is the answer, better government is the answer. You know, we have to, that's really where Christians come in. I mean, we are sharing something that the world doesn't understand, and that is, your problem is not the government, your problem is not the amount of education. The problem that we're experiencing as a human race has to do with spiritual death and needing life, and Jesus being the answer to that. So too many times it seems like churches, Christians as a whole, we jump in bed with the world and say, yeah, yeah, more education, yeah, yeah, better government, more, you know, better leaders. If we just elect this person, then everything will be different. And lo and behold, 6 months, 6 years later, nothing really changes as a result of those things. I mean, sure, it's great to be in a free nation. It's great to have a vote. It's great to have liberty. But I'm saying that the core problem that humanity has is spiritual death, and we all need life. And that life is not found in Washington, D.C. It's found in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that is such a powerful statement, simple but profound in impact. And so we need to know that truth. I know when I came to Christ at a summer camp between my sixth grade year and my seventh grade year, I knew that I needed Jesus. But from that point forward, for many, many years, I didn't really know the truth about God's great love for me. Yeah. I didn't know that all my sins had been forgiven once and for all. I didn't know that Christ had made me alive, that he had solved my deepest problem. I didn't know that I had a new identity. I lived the first part of my Christian experience just thinking I was the worst of all sinners, and that every day I just got worse at that. And my identity was all messed up. But then the truth broke through, and it's that truth that set me free, and it's that truth that will set you free as well in your Christian experience. So if you have a question about freedom in Christ, about the truth of God's love for you that's been revealed to us in the person of Christ, we would love to talk to you on today's broadcast. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. And in line with that, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this particular month. It is called Law and Grace. And this really is the truth about God's great love for you. If you're trying to live your Christian life through obedience to the law, I guarantee you, you are feeling condemned. You are living on eggshells. You are on the edge of fear every single day of your life, just waiting for God's punishment to fall, to come in the form of a loss of job, a financial reversal, an illness, or something along those lines. Well, that's not the truth about God's love. The truth of God's love is revealed to us through the grace that's been poured out on us in Jesus Christ. So we want you to know and experience that grace of God to the full. And as you do, you will walk freely as a child of God. And we want to put this resource in your hands. It's called Law and Grace, and it's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. And when you give your gifts, God will use those gifts to help bring freedom and life and the truth about God to others, to more people all around the world. So come and join what God is doing through Basic Gospel. And when you send your gift, be sure and request your copy of Law and Grace. You can do so by going to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And there's a big donate button right on the front page. There's also a big banner there about Law and Grace. You can click that as well. And it will take you to a page, and you can follow all the instructions there. If you would rather order yours, request your copy by phone, call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. And for those of our listeners in Canada, simply go to basicgospel.net/Canada, and all the information is there for you on how you can give to support our Canadian outreach. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here. Richard Pfeiffer is here. And we're glad you're here with us as well. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're going to go to Taylor, Michigan, and talk with Tony listening to us on WMUZ. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon, Bob, and thank you so much. Your program is an inspiration as far as that goes. It certainly answers a lot of questions that come up. My comment is not so much a question as a comment relevant to this lady who survived that tragedy of the duck boat.
Yes.
That capsized, and I guess there were like 37 people on board, 10 of which were from this lady's family. And she was the only survivor of her entire family. And the thought came to mind like the book of Job, where Job lost his entire family. Yet he did not curse the Lord, did not blame the Lord, did not question the Lord, And this woman is showing God's glory, giving glory to God by accepting that circumstance, which my heart aches for that family. My heart truly goes out to those people. And this woman, in my opinion, is as much an inspiration to us as was Job in his plight.
Mm. Well, Tony,
well,
I think...
Tony,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. No, okay.
Okay. Well, Tony, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm here in Canada. Speaking of Basic Gospel in Canada, I'm here in Canada right now, and so that's why there's a bit of a delay between me and Bob. But nevertheless, Tony, you know, I lost a lot of family members. I lost a half-brother of mine, committed suicide. Another half-brother died of a drug overdose. A half-sister of mine died of AIDS. My dad died in a car accident. Our family has seen a lot of death, and I certainly sympathize with the lady who has lost so many loved ones. And I think you're right that it's a testimony to her when any of us has an attitude of, Lord Jesus Christ, I don't understand why bad things happen, why accidents occur, why tragedy hits. I don't understand the why of everything, but I do know that you are good, and I know that you are my comforter. I know that you are my counselor. I know that you are my guide into truth in the middle of this situation. And that is what is so special and sweet about being in Christ, is that we're countercultural, we're counterintuitive, in that, you know, the Lord seems to shine most brightly in our lives in the midst of tragedy. And, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about that light shines out of darkness, and that, you know, we're perplexed and we're stricken, you know, we're not ever destroyed because we have eternal life in us, but we can certainly experience all kinds of outward stress and difficulty and grief and anguish. And whether it's Job in the Old Testament or the early church in the New Testament, Paul being one of them, you know, he learned the secret of contentment in all circumstances. And, you know, we grieve, we cry, we mourn with those who mourn, and that's part of what the Holy Spirit teaches us. But you're right. It's a beautiful thing. It's a testimony to her, and it's a testimony to Jesus that he is our comforter in the midst of some really ugly stuff that planet Earth hits us with. So thanks for your call.
The true perspective is this life is not the finality.
It's not the end all, is it?
No, it's our eternal life with God that really counts. And such a tragedy, but still this woman holds on to her faith. And to me, that just brings glory to God. Gentlemen, God bless you, and thank you for allowing me to make my comment.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you, thanks Tony, for joining us on today's broadcast. And it's wonderful to see that people truly cling to Jesus through thick and thin. And that is inspirational, as Tony was saying. And boy, it takes some courage because the world is pressing in and would have her to react a different way. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit of God living in her, the hope that she has in Christ, is bringing about something that's different. Something that's different than what we would see out there in the world. So, Tony, thanks for that observation. Thanks for that caring heart. We certainly appreciate that. Let's go out to the Big Island in Hawaii and listen to Jonathan, who called in overnight with this question.
Aloha, this is Jonathan from Big Island in Hawaii. My basic question is, I don't know what it means to love God, I would say. I don't know if I love him or not. I became a Christian in 2006, and I have been asked multiple times, sometimes by some church leadership, if I love God, and I've honestly had to tell them I don't know, because even though I know love is a choice, like me being married to my wife, is I know there's also emotion in there, and I grew up with a very terrifying view of God. My dad was a very angry person, and my parents said things like, if you don't obey your parents, that you could, God could put you in a car wreck, you know, take your legs to wake you up, that kind of thing. And so when I sin, I'm immediately convicted of it, and I confess it, but I feel like I do it out of fear. Obviously, he's upset, but then he's going to say, look, this proves you're not really with me. This proves you don't really have faith in Christ because, anyway, so that is my question. I don't know if I love God or not, and if I don't, I don't know how to love him. If you could help me with that, thank you.
Boy, that ties directly into what we were talking about at the top of the hour. We don't know what the truth is. And because we don't know the truth of God's great love for us, we find ourselves like Jonathan. And boy, as he was asking that question, just my whole life of frustration and fear and struggle and guilt and shame just came flashing back. I lived exactly that same way. I confess because I was afraid if I didn't, something was going to happen. But boy, I just could not figure out how to live this Christian life. So how do we love God? What does that look like? Is it a feeling? Is it just, following the rules? What does it mean to truly love God with all of our heart and soul?
Yeah. Well, guys, you know, I think that we in Christianity these days, it seems like we're quick to try to measure, you know, am I loving God? Do I love him enough? Have I loved him hard enough? Have I proven my love to him? And I'll tell you one scriptural truth that has really helped me get off that treadmill and recognize the finished work of Christ is this, that part of what Jesus did, part of the finished work of Christ, is that God poured out his love in our hearts by faith. And as the book of Ephesians says in chapter 6, at the very last verse, as Paul is saying goodbye to these Ephesians, he says that they love the Lord Jesus Christ, that they love God with an incorruptible love. So love has been poured out in our hearts. We do love God. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he deposited his love in our hearts. So we don't want to wake up and say, how much do I love God? Do I love him enough? Have I proven it? Let me see. Let me survey my actions. No, don't survey your actions. Survey the cross. Survey the resurrection. Survey the deposit of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Survey the fact that the Holy Spirit has poured out God's love in our hearts. So that's what we need to survey. And when we believe that and count on that as being true, then we are going to be in a whole different mind frame, a whole different mindset. We're not trying to quantify our love and prove our love. We're saying, God, I do love you. I have an incorruptible love for you because I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. I have your spirit living in me. And this is a work that you did inside of me. You gave me an incorruptible love for you. And I can't thank you enough. And I love you because you first loved me.
Great answer, Andrew. It reminds me of, you know, a prophecy way back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. One of my absolute favorite verses in the Word of God because it speaks to the very thing that you're talking about. And so Moses is saying that the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. There's no way that we can muster up a love for God through human effort, through obedience to the rules and the regulations, through the works of the law. God had to do something to us, and that's what he did at salvation. He circumcised our hearts, gave us new hearts that could respond to him, that were soft and pliable and flexible, that could respond to him. And that's what I think it means to love God, is to respond back to him in faith. That's the commandment that John talked about in his first letter. And he said, this is not burdensome. And that's to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way we love God. Our faith in Jesus is the expression, the manifest expression of our love for God, because he first loved us. So, Jonathan, what I would like to say to you, if you listen to this at a later time, get back in touch with us. I would like to send you a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And your life and my experience, they're parallel. They're just, we were walking down the same path. And I want to send you this book, Our Compliments. Put it in your hands, and I think it will be a big help, a big benefit to you. So just call us back at 844-322-2742, or send me an email, bob@basicgospel.net, bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll get this book into your hands. Richard?
There's an aspect of his question that we haven't touched on yet, and that is that he told us that he grew up in a family who had an absolutely horrible view of God. If you're bad, God's going to get you. And so he's been carrying that with him. Well, I think one of the proofs that that was a lie is the fact that he's got the guts to express his doubts about his own relationship with God, and God didn't smite him dead. God
That's right.
appreciates us when we come to him and say, what's going on? And this feeds into what we talked about at the beginning of this week out of Philippians, where all of us have learned garbage at some point in our life, whether our parents did it or teachers or we just picked it up wherever. At some point, you've got to say, I know that's a lie, and I know that I feel like I have to hold on to it, but Paul told us in Philippians to forget that stuff. Walk away from it, fix your eyes on Jesus, and press on towards that prize, because Jesus is true. If everything else is a lie, Jesus is true, regardless. And so don't let your parents define for you any longer this unloving God, because I'm sorry, they were lying to you. And even if you know that, you haven't let go of it yet. Forget what was behind. Move on to Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, Jonathan, hope that helps. Let's go to Margaret and listen to her question.
Hi, my name is Margaret. My brother recently committed suicide, and I was just wondering where you think he ended up. And I wanted to bring up the Bible verse, John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So can, even if you commit suicide, if you are saved, cannot take your soul away from going to heaven? I would like to know. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, guys, you know, first of all, God is not kicking us when we're down. And that's unfortunately what some people teach. They say, oh, if you're a Christian and you got depressed and you got saddened and you got to a place of weakness where you took your own life, well, then that's it. All bets are off. The deal is over and God has left you. Well, that's not the gospel. The gospel is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. He gave us eternal life, not temporary life. Yes, there's a sin that keeps people under death, spiritual death, but that sin is actually rejecting the grace of God. That is rejecting life. That is rejecting the gospel message. That is rejecting Jesus. So anyone, if they're in Christ, then they are a new creation. They have eternal life. As we often call it, once saved, always saved. How can that be true? Well, the book of Hebrews says Jesus is able to save us completely because he always lives to intercede for us. And that is for any sin imaginable. That's when you're feeling great. That's when you're feeling depressed. That's when you make a huge mistake. That's when you're making no mistake. It is all the time, every day. That is the love and grace of God. It is agape, it is unconditional, and it is for now and eternity.
Well, Margaret, we hope that helps. Thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition. It's our teaching edition, and we are continuing our study on marriage, the Grace Guide to Marriage. So join us then. So now for Richard and Andrew and all the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow.